G'day, Reece Dowden here, and welcome to episode 20 of the Selection Bullet Points podcast. And if you're going to be doing selection, as always, check out operatoredge.com. But this time, rather than going slash indefatigable, because I know a lot of people have trouble spelling that, you're just going to go to operatoredge.com/selection, all right? And there's a few things there. You'll be able to opt into email address, to my email database, all that kind of stuff, and I'll send you some good things. But let's get into today's podcast. And actually, yesterday I sent out a question to my database. It was basically, you know, what concerns or problems you're facing in regards to going, attempting selection. What are you worried about? How can I sort of help? And I got a number of replies back, and way more than I anticipated. So I thought I'd get some of the good ones and I'd put them in this podcast, okay? So that's what we're going to go through today. All right, so one of the first ones I received back was a question related to what are some of the biggest pitfalls one would face on selection? Another one was what were the most common things you saw bring someone's selection hopes to an end? I.e., what are some of the reasons that people get booted from selection or fail selection? And I get this question all the time, so I just thought I'd answer it. And, you know, the biggest one without a doubt is simply candidates not being prepared, okay, physically, mentally, and emotionally, all right? So it's people giving themselves enough time to prepare for selection, starting the physical training program too late, not understanding that there's a hell of a lot more in a selection than just the physical component, like understanding, for example, the mental component, the emotional resilience, understanding exactly what we're testing on selection, what we need to see from you, that kind of things. So really physically, first and foremost, you want to make sure you can pass all the required physical tests, obviously, and pass them well, you know, the 3.2, the 20 clicker, the swim component. You want to be ready for really long swim pool sessions, particularly on commando selection. I'll talk about the combined selection for next year a bit later. But you want to make sure you can pass all those gates, all right? And if you struggle, give yourself enough time. And I mentioned that in the previous podcast. The other thing is you want to make sure you have solid endurance. And that's obviously selection is really an endurance event. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So you've got to be prepared for that. But also it prevents injuries. There are a lot of people get injured on selection. A lot of people, all right? So some are just totally unlucky and you can't do much about that. But others are, you know, haven't done the endurance sessions or haven't built up their endurance enough and they'll get injured, okay? So you've got to build a solid base of endurance. Another point is people talking themselves off selection. You know, huge point. I know so many dudes have talked themselves off selection, all right? So, i.e., they fail a component or they don't think they're doing very well on course. They compare themselves to others. They see someone who's killing it and they think they're not up to standard just because of that. They fall for one of the instructor tactics, i.e., you know, an instructor going up to a candidate, blaming them for something, saying that they've cheated out on one of the physical fitness sessions and their burpee count or their push-up count or their squat count, whatever, and they'll blame the next PT session on that candidate, you know, which is kind of one of the tactics that the instructors use. So that all adds up, and a lot of candidates will talk themselves off selection, okay? So one of the top reasons people pull themselves off, all right, because they talk themselves out because they don't think they're doing very well. Another area is negative feedback from other candidates, okay, during the Rate Your Mates or peer review. If you get a lot of negative feedback from your teammates, people in your team, so other candidates, you won't get through. Simple as that. Now, the big one is trainability. You know, it's always a good one. This is obviously apart from all the other attributes and traits you get assessed on, but trainability is a big one. You know, if you can't show you're trainable, then that'll certainly go against you. You know, they won't, on selection, if you can't show you're trainable, they don't really want to take the risk on Rio because a lot of dudes fail Rio. Okay, however, you got to think about it this way. Selection tests your trainability relevant to military skills. All right, meaning you're not going to really assess your trainability in areas totally outside of the military realm, i.e., They're not going to show you how to crochet, for example, and then expect you to pick it up and test you later. All right, that would actually probably be a real test of your trainability. You know, being taught one thing that you have no idea about, totally outside the military realm, and then test you on it. But they don't, all right? They'll teach you things like room floor combat and assess your ability to acquire, take on board that info, and then retain it, all right? So room floor combat, working at heights, knots, you know, different weapon systems, that kind of thing. So the trainability factor is really relevant to military skills, meaning that if you are covered off on all the soldier skills and, the soldier skills that you know are going to be assessed on selection, then you'll have a much better chance of being assessed as trainable. All right, so that's a really take that on board. Okay, so that was the first one. What are some of the pitfalls on selection on why people fail selection? Next one is the physical assessments on selection or selection process. One of the replies to the email I had, and this is if you're going through a DRS pathway, you know it's on the Army website, but you'll need the 10.1 on the beep test, which really that shouldn't take long if you do any kind of fitness. Really, 10.1 should be a piece of piss. So give yourself enough time for that if you struggle. 40 push-ups, again, should be able to do that pretty easy. 60 sit-ups and 6 overgrass P's, all right? The overgrass P's could get people, so again, make sure you give yourself enough time. So that's if you want to go through DRS, but that's only for the initial entry into the Army, all right? For the SF entry test, you'll be required to achieve, they'll test you on these elements, okay? They'll test you on heaves, push-ups, sit-ups, the 3.2 webbing run, the pack march and the swim. So if you're looking at the heaves, you want to do, really a pass mark, they say is 7, but you ideally, realistically, you want to be over 10 to be competitive. 40 push-ups is sort of the minimum, but you'd probably want to do over 60. 100 sit-ups is a given. With the 3.2 kilometer webbing run, okay, you've got your cams, 8 or 9 kilos in your webbing and your rifle, right? So pass mark is 16 minutes, but ideally, you want to get below or around the 15 minutes, okay, to really be competitive. The 10-kilometer, or sorry, the 90-minute pack march, really 10K in that amount of time is a pass mark, but you should be able to do it. Realistically, you want to do over 11Ks, right? The 400-meter swim test in cams under 16 minutes, they're not too concerning there, but getting under 16 minutes is fine. But if you're only just getting under 16 minutes, I would suggest you've got a lot more swimming training to do to be able to pass the long pool sessions, okay? So you'd be probably wanting to do that in I'd say, under 12 minutes, to make sure that your swimming is where it should be in order to get through selection, all right? Next question I had was, do they consider prior injuries before allowing you to go for selection? Not really. Like if you're in the Army or if you got DRS, obviously they're going to assess whether you can actually join the military and particularly go SF. But if you're already in the military, generally, and you can pass the SF medical, you're good to go. All right. So if you've had prior injuries, but you pass the SF medical, selection staff not going to look at other injuries. And I don't care about that. If you turn up to selection, you've been passed as medically fit, then you're good to go. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past, okay? Some injuries will obviously prevent you from attempting selection, i.e. certain kind of back injuries or knee injuries or shoulder injuries, that kind of stuff, because you'll probably fail the medical for parachuting duties or being able to do the parachute course. So if that's the case, there's not much you can do about that. And then some injuries, you'll pass the medical to join the military, but won't necessarily pass the SF medical, okay? So, again, significant injuries, being colorblind to a certain degree as well. You might be able to get in the military, probably won't be able to get into an armed school, definitely won't be able to go for SF, okay? So, injuries, definitely something to look at. Some you can't do anything about, some you certainly can. And that leads me to the next question was, what are some of the reasons people get knocked back by DFR for medical or, knocked back from the Defence Force recruiting for medical just to get in the military, all right? And then there are plenty of guys in my program that have had to submit multiple appeals to finally get into the Army, all right? So the Army they're very strict these days, much more strict these days than when I joined back in 99, okay? So if you've had ACL reconstruction, shoulder injuries, ankles, knees, necks, all that kind of stuff, and you've got plates in there, or you've just had any kind of surgery, they'll probably deny you straight away, and then you'll have to appeal the process. Or if they don't deny you straight away, they'll ask for further reports. So you'll have to gather as much medical support for different specialists, reports from different specialists and so forth, that you'll want to submit to say that you're fine. And the Army want to see as much as you possibly can, because they don't want to take the risk. All right, they just don't want to take it. They have so many people apply. If you've been assessed as any kind of risk, mentally or physically, they'll just say no. Right, but if you are denied initially, you can still get in. You just have to supply as much, documentation supporting the fact that you are okay. However, basically, the Defence Force Chief Medical Officer will have the final say. And if they come back, if you've appealed multiple times and they come back and the Chief Medical Officer has said no, there's not much you can do about that. But if you're denied in that area and you can't get in the military, then look at other areas, like particularly the police, for example, right? And joining the police, doing their selection for a police tactical group, that I'd be definitely looking at that, right? That would be a bloody awesome job. Everyone I know in a police tactical group from all around Australia and the different states and territories absolutely love it. So I would look at that if you can't get in the military, okay? Another question I had was, what's a joint selection looking like? Do I know or have any info on how it would be run, and how would my training program be tailored to accommodate the new structure? Well, they're still really, from what I know and understand, they're still really working out all the details for the joint selection. They want to get this year's commando selection out of the way. But really, it's going to be very interesting to see what they come up with in regards to the joint selection. As you can imagine, both units want certain things on selection. The two selection courses, SAS and Commandos, differ slightly, especially in regards to the amount of pack marching you do, the amount of solo pack marching you do in particular, and towards the end of selection, the demarcation period or lucky dip period, okay? So they differ. I think the longer pool sessions will be there. The longer pool sessions, 2-3 hour pool sessions that they currently do on commando selection, I think that'll be there, because it's that's a really good tester, especially if you're not comfortable in the pool. And it's also low impact, so you can really smash people in the pool, not injure them. Okay, so I think that'll be on there for sure. The length of demarc and lucky dip, like I said before, that'll be up for discussion. Lucky dip is about five days on SAS selection, and it's 3 to 4 days on commando selection currently. So interesting how they sort of meet in the middle, or if they meet in the middle, and what they come up with there. But regardless of any changes, the essence of selection won't change, okay? You'll still need to be across all the attributes and traits. You have to have really great physical conditioning, obviously, and be mentally tough, right? You want to have good stress management strategies, emotional intelligence, self-belief, all that kind of stuff. And you just want to go into selection confident that you've covered off on all these areas and ready to execute. You want to understand what we're testing on, okay? And the other thing that's going to be fascinating about how the joint selection is going to run, because what I'm hearing at the moment is that everyone who wants to go SF, you put your hand up, put paperwork in, you do your entry test, everyone's going to do the same selection and most of the same Rio. That might change, but most of the same Rio, and then they'll sort of decide where you're going to go. But what's going to be really interesting is that if you've got an awesome candidate, all right, so someone who's absolutely killing it, both units are going to want that person. That candidate, all right? Both of you are going to go, we want that guy, he's awesome. And so I think there's probably going to be a bit of infighting there, in which case, the candidate will probably get a preference, all right, of where they want it. You might get a preference anyway, I'm not sure, but we'll just have to wait and see on that. But again, very, very interesting stuff, and, I look forward to seeing the results of that. They've run it before back in the early 2000s. They might run it just next year and then go back to the way it's going to be run. I think they're planning on doing, at the moment there's two selection courses this year, one in sort of April, May for SAS, one in October for Commandos, the joint ones. They're still going to run two from what I'm hearing, okay? So that April, May period and the October period, okay? But we'll just have to wait out and see. The other last question I had was how to train around injuries, all right? And can you train around injuries and what you should do? And really, I would say yes, all right? Just do what you can. generally, you could probably, I would say you could train around an injury. You know, I've had shoulder, knee, toe surgeries, and I always found something to do, all right? So I've had my shoulder surgery. I was just doing a lot of lower body weight activities, same as when I had my knee surgery, I was doing upper body. So I always found something to do. So unless you've got a really significant, you know, neck or back injury or some other injury, you should be able to do something, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you need to go and kill yourself and push through an injury and hurt yourself even more, but I'm saying if you can, you should probably do something. You probably won't be able to maintain your pre-surgery fitness levels if you had a high degree of fitness, but you should be able to limit the damage and maybe improve in other areas, okay? So improve your strength or your swimming or your pull-ups, etc., okay? So just try and do something. Anything, and that'll just be great for your mental health as well. All right, so that were the some of the good sort of replies and questions I had in regards to my email that I sent out in the database. If you aren't on my email list, particularly if you're going to be doing selection, make sure you sign up. So go to operatoredge.com/selection. All right, that's much easier to dispel than indefatigable. And get on my email list, and I'll send you some stuff. All right. Generally related to selection. That's it for this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you've got any questions, make sure you hit me up, reese@operatoredge.com via email or Instagram account, reese_Dowden. You can try hit me up on Facebook too. I don't check that as much, but I check it sometimes. Email is probably the best. But again, that's it. Hope you got something out of this podcast, and I will see you in the next one. Thanks.